This recording was made on the 5th of February 2011 by Pete Rowlinson at King's Church Horsham. For further downloads, please go to our website www.kch.org.uk.
I've got the privilege and joy of talking about faith and finance this morning. So let's pray, shall we? Father, I submit myself to you. Lord, we submit ourselves to you. Lord, may we be men worthy of being followed. May we be worthy for our wives and kids to follow us, for those we lead to follow us. Father, I pray you take what I'm going to say today and you will speak to each one of us and you will cause each one of us to become somebody who knows how to take your kingdom forward in our own lives. And I pray your grace on this. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm really pleased to be able to chat to you today about faith and finance. They're two subjects that are very close to my own heart. Now, what I'm not going to do today is try and boss you around and bully you into making donations towards a building. That is not the purpose of this talk. What I want to talk to you about, sorry, Andy, I want to talk about you and how you can live at the cutting edge of the kingdom for the rest of your lives. This is not about a building. This is about your future for the rest of your days. Because I don't know if you've noticed, but actually money is the battleground today. And for those who are in debt, it's effectively modern day slavery. And for those who have got money, it's power to do what they want. And I want to show you the principles that God's taught me about how to come out of debt and move into power so that you're free and prosperous. And when you are prosperous, you know what to do with it and not be taken down the wrong alley with it or corrupted by it. So I'm really excited to share this. Very quickly, let me define faith for you, because we talk about faith, we forget what faith means. Faith is a three-step process in my experience. It starts with the Lord and it finishes with the Lord. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. It starts with a word from him, whether it's something you read in the Bible, whether it's a prophetic word, but he will speak to you. It will then drop into your heart and you'll get that little zing of, ooh, that's right. Do you know that feeling? And then the third step, and this is the crucial step, which is normally forgotten, you need to act on what you've believed. Now, faith doesn't work because A, people are deceived or they're not listening, but I would say probably commonly because they believe, but then they do nothing about it. So I want to challenge you to listen to me closely today. Listen through me, listen to the Lord. When you feel that zing of, ooh, God's saying that, do something about it. That is the difference between a fool and a wise man. Now, what I've learned in my life, there's three levels of walking in faith in finance, and I want to talk about those to you today and explain to them how they work. Because what I've found, the starting point of walking in faith in finance is whether money is your servant or your master. You have to win that battle first before you can do anything at all, and I'll talk a bit more about that. Then the second stage of faith is when money is serving you, and I've called it Godonomics. Have you had that experience? It's weird heavenly maths that always add up to enough. And that's a fantastic place to live. You've always, somehow or another, it works out. And that happens to me over and over again. I can't explain it because the numbers don't look right. Godonomics. And then finally, the third stage is going from just having enough to having plenty. So you build wealth and then you can give with wisdom. And wealth and giving go together. Because if you have nothing to give, you can't give. So don't be scared of wealth. Some of you are probably concerned that you would be corrupted. Make it your servant and use it to bring good on earth. So that's what I want to talk about. Now, would you, the other thing I want you to do is I want you to take this personally. This is not about what we're doing, Kings. This is about you and the rest of your life. So I want you to really consider your own life and be honest about it, because where your money is, there your heart is. I could, if you let me see what you do with your money, I could tell you where you're at with the Lord. So I want you to examine yourself today. I want you to listen through me to hear what God's saying to you, and then we make a decision to act on what you hear. Will you go for it? And I want you to go up a level. If money is your master, I want you to make some decisions today to conquer it. If you're in Godonomics but you're not really building wealth, I want you to move on. And if you're building wealth, I want you to go further, because that's what God's saying to me. So if you'll consider these things. So take them personally. Maybe you'll be offended, but it's like all these things, isn't it? To grow, you've got to face the facts without letting go of the vision. So I encourage you, move forward, because it will propel you to the front line of being useful on earth and building the kingdom. And actually, I think that's what we all want. And we're all in the finance game. The way our society is organised, money is the mechanism for distributing wealth and power. You can't opt out, so let's overcome and let's lead the way and show people how to do it. And goodness me, doesn't our land need people who can do that? We know what to do. When we get the wealth, we'll know what to do with it. So there you go. So let me talk about, is money your servant or your master? Now, very quickly, in Matthew 6, 25, we'd be very familiar with this. I just want to pick a few bits out of the passage. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more than food, the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Can one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? I'm just skipping through. Where should we go? So, if that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So don't worry, saying, what shall we eat or drink or wear? The pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of his own. So the important thing there, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. All these things will be given to you as well. So as long as you're pursuing his kingdom, it will take care of the rest. And not only that, by pursuing his kingdom, it will keep your heart pure and prevent you from being corrupted. Because, as Matthew 6:24 beautifully puts it, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You cannot do it. If you try and do it, you will have internal turmoil as long as you try. You have to make a decision. Whom will you serve? Whom will you serve? You have to make a decision. And the Lord is saying, seek first the kingdom, and I'll look after you anyway. So it's not a very difficult decision, I put it to you. So, what do you do about it? Well, Matthew 22, you remember the disciples were talking to Jesus about paying taxes and so on, and he said to them, give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. This is actually how you make money your servant, which is you cooperate with and accept the systems of the world, and you do it the way you need to do it. So you give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Now, making money your servant is a decision, okay? So you can choose to do it or not. Now, what it means practically, I've got identified three things. What is Caesar's mean? Firstly, what it means is every penny that comes through your hands, you treat with the absolute integrity, honesty, righteousness. No fraud, no deceit, no theft, no ripping people off, no forgetting to pay your debts, no shortchanging ever again. You just delete that from your life. If there's any of that in your life, make a decision this morning. Remove it forever. Now, I have an ambition for the Lord to trust me with wealth. I made that decision as a 9-year-old boy, and I've lived it ever since. And the reason I've done it is because I want him to find me trustworthy, because he needs men he can trust. You could be one of those men. Practice now. If you're not doing it, many of you are doing it. I'm not saying you're not, but I want to encourage you, all of you, go for it. Especially you younger men. You've got many, many years ahead of you. Get living it right early. You will go far. So make a decision. Every single penny will never again, you'll never again be unrighteous in any way with what Lord blesses with you. If you've got outstanding debts, sort them out. Fix it up, sort it out, be righteous, be pure, get it right. Second thing is be responsible with your money. Now, the spirit of the age is eat, drink, tomorrow we die. Let's just borrow, get it, don't worry about it, debt, don't worry. I say to you, no, pay your taxes, pay your bills, don't borrow, live within your means, be wise. Be a husband, for those of you who are married, that your wife does not worry about how you deal with money. She knows she can trust you. She knows you make wise decisions. Live the dream, because it's the way of freedom. And finally, your hands, there's a verse of love in the Bible that says he will prosper the work of your hands. Your hands, dedicate the work of your hands to the Lord. It's all part of seeking first the kingdom, but dedicate the work of your hands to the Lord. So there are three decisions. If you live them, and it will take time. Some of you who aren't particularly, it'll take time to grow into it. But as you do that, money will become your servant and not your master. And that's the foundation for living by faith in the financial realm. So once you've done that, you can then move into the lovely phase of Godonomics. And I love that, which is you always have enough. In economics, there's never quite enough. You've noticed that. The government have that problem. Goodness me, don't the government need to understand what we know? But Godonomics, you've always got enough. And I, as I said, it's weird, stretchy numbers that add up. And I love that, that as you trust him, he makes a way for you and he makes these things work. So that going back to the scripture, it says, give back to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. And you'll be familiar with the Malachi verse, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. There may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord, and see if I don't throw open the floodgates of heaven to prosper you. Now, I'm not about to try and talk you into tithing. I'm not trying to defend the principle of tithing or promote it. What I'm saying is, because interestingly enough, I've never ever heard anybody argue, when they say you shouldn't tithe, who've ever said that 10% is too much, too little, and you should be tithing more. It's always a reason for giving less. So I'm not trying to persuade you to tithe and trying to impose religion from the Old Testament or any of that. What I'm saying is, do you want to live under Godonomics? Because if you do, the way to live under Godonomics is to give God your best and he will bless the rest. I've done that since I was a student and I know it's true. So, and to me, 10% is a good start with. I don't want to get into the whole percentage, but if it's good enough for the Old Testament, it's good enough for me. And that's what I do, because that works. So, give him the best, he'll bless the rest. A few principles, very practical for you. Give him the first 10%, not the last. He's ahead of Caesar, so you give him your tithe before you pay your taxes. Because if you don't, what you're actually saying is he's number two. And where do you give your tithe? You give your tithe where you're being fed. So where are you being fed? King's Church, Horsham, good ground. Sow your tithe into the church here. Why are you doing it? The reason you do it is not because the church wants you to tithe. The reason you do it is because you are wise and you understand that as you give God your best, then he will do Godonomics on your numbers and he will make it work for you. And it pleases him. Now, very important point. Actually do it. It was mentioned a couple of weeks ago. The biggest problem with people is they hear the word, they believe the word, and they don't do it. That is the way of fools. So if you're feeling, I've got to get my act together, get your act together. Get it done. The sign of people who are mature is they do what they say. They do what they believe. They act on it. So I'd encourage you, get organized. If it's a standing order, if it's a direct debit, if it's actually putting cash in the collection, whatever you do, give him your best. Another one I'd just like to emphasize is don't try and give everything away. Now, here's a challenge. Over the years, there's been a culture of if you're a good Christian, you've got to be really poor, give all your money away. The reality is, in the earth, there's tons of wealth. Now, somebody will get their hands on it. Now, is it better that an unrighteous, selfish, self-indulgent sinner gets hold of it? Or is it better that someone who serves the king gets hold of it and uses it? And what God is saying is, are you worthy to use that wealth? Are you up for it? Are you going to have the character to carry it? So don't give it all away and give the responsibility to someone else. Dare to take responsibility for what you've got and use it for yourself. And that's why I think God says 10% is the tithe. The 90%, he knows you need it. And he wants you to use it. He wants you to exercise your decision-making to serve him in terms of what you do with your money. Next thing is, don't try and give away what you haven't got. This is really important. You cannot give what you haven't got. Don't borrow to give. I would say don't borrow to give. You give out of the abundance. You don't give something that's not yours. So if you do need to start tithing, I would say to you, start on the next income. God may say, I want you to fix some previous stuff that you know you should have done. That's fine. It doesn't matter. I'm not telling you what to do. You need to hear what God says to you. But don't try and give what you haven't got, because that's not the way God does it. So let me just recap briefly. The first thing is you've got to make money serve you and the kingdom, not vice versa. So that's a series of decisions, and you'll be tested in it. If you're not really living that, you will be tested. Be ready. Make the decision time after time. Your walk with the Lord, actually, is a series of decisions over many years. That determines where you go, whether you fall away, whether you're faithful to the end, whether you make a difference or not. It's decision by decision by decision. It's actually all you've got. He's done everything else for you. He's forgiven you. He's found you. He's rescued you. But he's left you with your will. It's your decision. Every decision, the decisions you make today will affect where you are in a year's time, 5 years' time, 10 years' time. So I encourage you, make the decisions you need to make. So get money is serving you. Then live in Godonomics. Give your best 10% to the Lord. Get it done. Get it going reliably. Then you can you move on to the next stage, which is moving to the sharp end of the kingdom, which is where you build wealth and acquire power so you can start using money to serve the kingdom and fix problems, and you can give where money needs to go, and you can give with wisdom. Because what I found is wealth and giving go together. If you have no wealth, you can't give. If you do have wealth, you don't know what to do with it, you don't give. And actually, the kingdom needs funding. There are many good people up and down this country and all around the world who are sowing their lives out for the Lord, and they need the funding to support it. So if you're not actually doing the work, be one who helps pay for the work. So how do you give with wisdom? Now, this whole area, I've really learned over the last few years, last 12 years, Simon and I, we've been in business together because we wanted our business not just to be a living, but to be an act of worship unto the Lord, especially in the financial arena. But what I've learned is you don't just give gifts, because you need to give with wisdom. So what we've learned to do is to sow, pray, and believe for a harvest, which then means we've got more to sow, to pray, to get another harvest, which then we've got more to sow, to get another harvest. And over the course of time, we found that is a good way to operate. So the first thing you need to do is you need to find good soil. So we do that as a business. We make gifts into Christian work. It's got to be explicitly for the kingdom of God. It's got to be clearly bringing good on earth. And then we'll sow a gift in faith and believe for a harvest. And what we found is, as we've sown in faith, God has honoured our gift and given us a harvest in terms of prospering the work of our hands. So we haven't sat back, feet up, armchair, chill out, and here comes the money, loads of gifts. Doesn't work like that, because he prospers the work of your hands. And it's okay for him to prosper the work of your hands. And as you sow into his kingdom, the work comes about. And we found that in the context of the business, as we've done that. We've been operating it for 12 years. I like to keep records of these things. We keep an average. We keep a measure of how it works. And we found between our sowing a gift and reaping an order, it's about 6 to 9 months. And over 12 years, our return is 50-fold. So, and the word is 30. 60 or 100. Now, please listen to me. I'm not trying to say this is a way to operate. I'm trying to give you a principle, because that's how it works for us. But I do understand the principle is you sow into the kingdom and God prospers the work of your hands. And I want to encourage you to live like that. And in Genesis, Isaac planted crops in that land and the same year reaped 100-fold because the Lord blessed him. I'd just like to talk quickly about the principles of how to sow and reap, because it's important you understand the principles and then do what God is saying to you in your situation. But very quickly, a testimony. What I found is I was troubled. I don't know if you've ever had this, but over the years I've been troubled when you give gifts and they don't accomplish anything much. You see a need, you say okay, and you sacrifice, maybe you give something to somebody, and they don't do anything much with it, and it doesn't accomplish anything lasting. And I was particularly troubled. You remember in America when the televangelists who had millions given to them, and they turned out to be corrupt, and they went off to prison, and it was very damaging for the reputation of the kingdom, and they fell into sin, because money was not their servant. It became their master. So I was asking the Lord about it, and he said, what I found was, as you give, if you're giving with faith, you're looking for a harvest. So it inclines you to look. First of all, you give with wisdom. You don't just give it out anyway. You look for what's a good soil. and then you track to see if you get a harvest, because that confirms whether it's good soil or not. If it's good soil, what are you going to do? You're going to put more in. So if you're the missionary on the front line, serving your life away, and someone comes and gives to you, and then 9 months later they come back and they say to you, your good soil, here's some more money. What does that do for you on the sharp end of the kingdom? I'll tell you what that does for you. That encourages you and helps you build the work. And we've got people we've done that to, and I can think of one missionary in particular who's in one of the toughest missionary areas you can go. And we sowed a gift into them, and we got 120-fold return. And I said to them when they were back, I said, you need to know you are good soil, and we're giving you more because you are whatever you're doing it well, keep going. They were so encouraged. So what happened is the money found its way to the anointing, and I was motivated. I wasn't given out of duty. I wanted to support them. They were encouraged. It worked. That's how God handles money once it's your servant. And that's the way to live, because it's easy. There's no duty. It's not like tax. You do it. We want to fund this person because we believe in what they're doing, and they're encouraged because we got another missionary couple. We keep giving them money. They can't understand it. But they're so encouraged because they are right out there on the edge, but we know they're good soil. So, and it's such a privilege to be able to do that. So I really want to encourage you. That's why you want to live like that. A few principles you need to know. Ignore the weather, trust the climate. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. That's in Ecclesiastes. So ignore your circumstances, take the long view. You know that the Lord is your shepherd. You know he's your provider. You know that as you seek first the kingdom, he will look after you. So don't let the big overwhelm you. Ignore it, take the long view. So don't give away everything. Sow a small amount to get a harvest. Don't give what you haven't got. Look for good soil. Clearly, it's got to be what's lasting. Relief of aid and poverty, yeah, that's okay, but building the kingdom is lasting. So look for people who are building the kingdom. Righteousness, kindness, truth, freedom, health. Look for where the kingdom's being built. And then sow with faith. Sow for a harvest. What I recommend you do, sow for a harvest you need. So, for example, what do you need? Maybe you have a debt. Maybe you have a credit card debt or something. Sow for a harvest to clear that debt. And when you clear the debt, you can sow another one for something else. So don't go berserk. Just experiment. Have a go. Try it out. And I would sow. What we're finding at the moment, we're getting about 40-fold return at the moment, just the state of the economy and so on. So I have faith to sow for a 40-fold return. So sow for a 40-fold return, that sort of area. And have a go, see what happens. in Corinthians, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. So having sown with faith, you have to wait for your harvest. And 6 to 9 months is our experience. I'm not sure that's particularly necessarily always the way it is, but it's an example. And then what you would expect to see, what I would expect to see, is God will prosper the work of your hands. So that either means you haven't got a job, you'll get a job. You've got a job, you'll get a better job. You'll get prosperity will come from the work of your hands. In Deuteronomy 30, it says, the Lord your God will make you most prosperous in all the work of your hands and in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock and the crops of your land. The Lord will delight in you and make you prosperous just as he delighted in your ancestors. Now, I had the question asked me, yeah, but how? I'm in a job where there's no prospect. It doesn't pay very well. There aren't any promotion prospects. How's it going to work? The answer is, I don't know. But it doesn't matter, because if you follow the principles, God will take care of these things. How does gravity work? I don't know, but it does. Sowing and reaping is a godly principle. It's built in and it works, so cooperate with it. And as God blesses you in it, he will take you somewhere. He will take you out of debt. He will take you into a place of plenty where you know what to do with your plenty. And that is how to live and how to walk by faith in finance. Proverbs 13:22, a good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children, but a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. So one of the ways God will prosper you is that the sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. But anyways, it's not up to me how he does it. It's up to him. But you need to give him the opportunity to do it. And then finally, sow again. So assess. Assess the soil. Was it good soil? If it was, invest some more. Now compare this with the worldly way of investing, buying shares and investing in all these goods and trying to make a quick buck and all that. What's the interest rate at the moment? 0.5% maybe? Or 5% if you've got a good one? Now, God's way, he laughs at that. 30, 60, 100-fold return. That is God's way of doing it. And God's prosperity cycle is this. You earn, you tithe, you sow. You earn, you tithe, you sow. You earn, you tithe, you sow. Actually, it's really simple. Now, what do you think is going to happen to you over many years if you earn, tithe, and sow, and then earn some more, tithe some more, sow some more? Over the passing of years, what do you think will happen to you if you're getting over 30, 40, 50 return out of everything you give into the kingdom? I'll tell you what will happen to you. You will become a giver and not a taker. You will become a helper of the poor. You will become a defender of the weak. You will be the answer and not the problem. You will be the head and not the tail. And you will personally advance the kingdom of God on earth with your wealth, regardless of what we as a church do, what everyone else does. It's within your power for you personally to become a mover and a shaker. Now, I want to encourage you that go after it, because God is looking for men he can trust to make good decisions. Goodness me, don't we need that in this land? One of the problems the government have got is a lot of people, they don't know how to solve the problems. They don't know how to do it, and we do, because we have the answers from heaven. And then you too can become a son of whom the Father says, "This is my son with whom I am well pleased." Now, I don't know about you, but there's someone else he said that about, and I want to be like that. So, I hope that was helpful. The three steps, let me just recapitulate on them. Is money your servant or your master? Now, be honest with yourself. If it is not your servant, make it so. Set out from this moment to make it so. Are you living under God's blessing? Are you living Godonomics? If you're not, set out to make it so. And finally, are you at the sharp end? Are you using wealth to build the kingdom? Or are you using your wealth to indulge yourself? Are you wasting your wealth? Are you frittering it away? Or are you using it to build something that will last? Now, what I'd like to do is, I don't want to pray for you, but I'd like to pray through with you, if that'd be okay. So could we have the band up? And if you'd all be up for standing, I'm just going to lead you through. Now, I'd like you to indulge me, if you would, because, as you may know, I have a background in flying, and I love flying, because flying takes you off the ground, up and away, and it's like soaring in the spirit. And I believe that God wants to call all of us to go higher today and push our boundaries farther and go for it. So I'd like to, as I was preparing for this last weekend, God gave me a vision. I'd like to just take you through that with me, if you'll indulge me with that, because he really spoke to me about it. So if we could just have some, can we have some just gentle background worship of some description? The other thing is, although this is the stuff we do in our lives with our own decisions, we don't do it alone. Okay, we are together in this. We are a band of brothers. It's not just a silly name. We serve the Lord together. We're all on the same team. Times will change, not when one of us does it, but when we're all doing a similar thing. So as I was praying about this, I saw, if you'd just like to pray now, and I saw, I was in the Air Force, so it was easy for me to see, but I saw that we're like a squadron. If you imagine, there's a squadron of fast jets, and the weapons they carry under their wings are are money and resources to go and solve problems. And I saw that before the Lord, we're a squadron of jets. We're all in charge of our own jet, and we're all trained, and we're all up for it. And I believe actually God is saying, guys, all of you, you're all in. None of you are just watchers. You're all in on this one, because we're all equal. We're all trained. We're all in charge of our own destinies, our own jets. And I saw that some of you, the truth is, if you're honest, money is your master. Or if it is, it may be a bit your servant, it's not really. And there's some unrighteousness, there's some fleshiness, there's some self-indulgence and all that kind of stuff. And you're like the jet that is at the end of the runway. You're not actually in faith, in finance. You're doing it the world's way. and muddling through. And I believe God's saying to you, okay, are you ready to launch? Are you up for it? So I just want you to consider, if that is you, make a decision. Actually make a decision. Are you up for it or not? Are you going to go for it? Are you going to spend the rest of your days living by faith in the financial realm? If you are, make a decision to say, yes, Lord, I'm up for it. See yourself opening the throttles. You're rolling down the runway. Reheat kicks in. Pull the nose back and you're off. You're airborne, okay? Because when you go by faith, you soar on wings of eagles. The way of faith is the way to live. Believe me, exhilarating, exciting, uncontainable, wonderful presence of the Spirit. Now, some of you may have done that. You may well already be walking by faith. You may have made that decision many years ago. But actually, you may be struggling. It may be tough. You may be on full power, just about not hitting the next tree, just about going, avoiding the hills because you can't really get it going. You're not really paying the bills. It is a real struggle. And that may be because you're not under Godonomics, and that may be because you need to sort out getting your tithing done. So if that is you, make a decision. Are you going to do that or not? Maybe it's like, you know, if you're on instruments, you can't see what's going on. There's no one around you. It's just scary and hard and difficult. And you're trying to make a go of it, but really, it's not really there. Well, if that's you, make a decision and get into tithing. Come under Godonomics. And if that's you, see yourself again. Bring the nose back, go into the climb. As I saw it, I saw a picture of, it's like as ice builds up on the wing, you lose lift. And however much power you've got, you can't get anywhere. And as you decide to get your tithing sorted out, God will get the icing off the wings and you'll start to soar. And then you'll ping out of the cloud and suddenly it'll be a clear blue sky and you'll be able to see to your left and your right everyone else who's doing the same. And there may be some of you, you've been tithing for years, you know about Godonomics, you've lived it, you know it's true, but you don't really know what to do beyond that. You have money, but you don't really know what to do with it. And I'd like to encourage you to engage with building wealth and giving with wisdom. So maybe some of you need to say, okay, I'm up for the fight. And as you look up, you can see everyone else who's already doing it. They're busy sowing and reaping and fixing problems and so on, and you want to join in. So if that's you, make a decision now that you're gonna try. And I believe that specifically for the building, and specifically for now, God is saying, sow a seed to get out of debt. Some of you need to sow seeds to clear your mortgage. I believe God said that to me, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to sow a seed to clear our mortgage. Some of you may have credit cards, personal loans, doesn't matter, but what is God saying to you? Make a decision, sow a seed to fix that debt. As an experiment, sow it into the building, see what happens. Are you up for that? How do you work it out? It's very easy. Work in your head, whatever you need, whatever the number is you need to clear, divide it by 10, then halve it, and then halve it. That's what you need to sow with a 40-fold return, okay? And make a decision. That's what I'll do. I'm going to try it out, see if God's in this. Now, I'd like you to do something else. It'd be really helpful, as Andy leads us in all this, it'd be really helpful for him to know where you're at. So would you be up for texting him or emailing him if you've made a decision today? If you decided to start walking by faith today and make money your servant, not your master, just send him a text that you're airborne, would you? Or an email. If you're going to get your tithing straight, would you send him a text that you're climbing? And then if you're decided you're going to try and you're going to sow in and you're going to become on the sharp edge of using money to build the kingdom and actually live it and not just prosper yourself, then tell him, text him that you're engaging. Will you do that? Because Andy is out in faith just like the rest of us as he leads us on this, and it'll be very encouraging and helpful for him to know where we all are. So Father, we just submit ourselves to you. Lord, may you cause all of us to be uncontainable in our ability to trust what you're saying and to bring your kingdom on earth. Father, I pray for a great harvest of blessing to rest on every man in this room who is setting out to go further in the things of the Spirit in the financial realm. Father, for those with no jobs, I call in jobs. For those who are stuck, I prophesy a promotion that you will promote them out and up and higher. Father, I pray you send in wealth. Father, not because we want to become fat, but because we are people that you can trust to use it wisely to build your kingdom on earth. So Lord, we just give ourselves to you, and may we please you, and may we be finishers, and may over many years, may we bring your good on earth as it is in heaven. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.